Welcome back, guys. Can't wait to talk about another big topic. This is gonna be one of the super, like, I don't know, season two, episode like three. This is gonna be a really good topic to get over. Next episode, we're gonna be talking about different types of liners for your sleeping bags. But before you need to know that, you have to know the sleeping bag types and everything in between. So this will include the temperature rating, sleeping bag types. Also, we're going to be talking about insulation types and a ton of other things like bag shapes, sizing your sack, rucksack, and washing your sleeping bag, and so many things like that. So let's get started and talk about what is the sleeping bag types. So here are three main sleeping bag types, which includes summer, three season, and winter. So let's go with summer right now. And it's not summer, it's winter in Washington right now, but rainy. So summer bags are supposed to be suitable for temperatures around 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So when you go and look up on Amazon or see my podcast, remember to hear that 30 degrees Fahrenheit and higher. So that's going to be your summer sleeping bag. So these mean they're lighter weight because there's less insulation, and that means there's less weight. So you're probably not going to look for a 30, I would say probably a 40 degree one, but that's just me. So summer bags are often full length zippers. So this means it's allowed to zip them almost completely open for ventilation. So if you get way too warm in your sleeping bag, you can use this. I have a Coleman one just like this, and I use it basically kind of like a mostly like a bed sheet or a side, like a throw, but not really. So there's also something called a three season, which it's a 20 degree Fahrenheit and above. This means the bag is best suited for spring and fall trips. So that's pretty good, but what about summers? You can also use it for summer if you want a three-in-one type of sleeping bag. And also, this is also good in high mountains where temps can dip below freezing at night. That's why I usually, when I live in Washington, there's a ton of mountains. Hint, hint, if you live in Washington, probably get a three season to four season one. So good three season bags have added features to combat colder temperatures. So this means it's able to draft colors with the zipper and draft tubes. And yes, this sounds a little weird, like techie, but it's a thing. So let's talk about winter. These are like puffy cocoons. This means they're more like rather rectangular sleeping bags. These are gonna be the mummy bags, which I have two of. One of them is Marmot, but we will get that in another episode. This is for 20 and below that, so 20 degrees Fahrenheit and below. This means they have all the features as a three season, so big or bag, hoodies, like the hat where it goes over the head, which you never want to get a winter that doesn't have a hood over it. So it looks like it has a hoodie like on a coat, but it's for a sleeping bag. So these puffy cocoons also have features like they are more insulation, but they can be heavier. But if you get good ones that are like really expensive, like $800, $500 ones, then those are going to be around 1.2 pounds, which pretty really light for a winter sleeping bag. So temperature means everything in sleeping bags, because you don't want a sleeping bag that's pretty overpriced, like a $1,200 sleeping bag, if it doesn't give you the temperature ratings you want. So all sleeping bags have different temperature ratings. That indicates that their minimum temperature is going to be designed to handle like snow or weather like rain, which a lot of places in Washington always have rain, so just make sure that is keep in mind. Let's talk about what are the different types of ratings in Washington, Seattle, or even Mill Creek. So this contains like upper limit. That equals basically the highest air temperature in that which the average man can sleep comfortably. I'm just gonna skip all this. Like, we're not all that like geeky and smart. Not saying we're not smart, but I don't think anybody's gonna be on this podcast just listening to this. So, insulation types. There's down, there's thin, 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 oh, I can't talk. Thinsetic. That's it, I think so. I know I've said it so many times in my other episodes. I need water. Whatever. Let's just start with down. So down is the lightest, most efficient insulation that you can get. Oh, synthetic. There, I said it finally. It's also most compressible, which is a big plus for backpackers hiking and carrying big loads. So I don't have a lot of like I have a ton of stuff that I take, like a lot of necessities that I usually need. That will include like sleeping bags, sleeping pads, food, camping, like all the camping gear. So big loads, that means you're gonna be carrying more than like 30, 40 pounds on your back. I usually go no less than 10 pounds on my back. I know that's kind of sad, but I just do that. So yeah, so we're looking at now the synthetic. So this means there are different types of synthetic insulation, but here are like some generally like obvious things. So there's a puffy polyester material that does not absorb water, and make sure you don't get one with cotton. I like to say cotton kills, because when you get cotton wet, unless you have like a dryer, it's gonna be wet for the whole trip. Then that wetness comes to mold, and you do not want that in your backpack or your sleeping bag, by the way. Although synthetic bags are typically bulkier and heavier, they are much less expensive. So if you want a less expensive price tag, you would be looking for a synthetic sleeping bag. So now we're going to be going about selecting the right sleeping bag shell fabric. So this only comes to one decision. Do you need a waterproof bag or not? All of my bags are pretty much waterproof, as so they say on the price tags and everything. Except for my Coleman one was $40, and if you're getting a $40 bag, I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be waterproof. But let's go back to what we're talking about. Let's see my notes. So the only answer is yes. If you truly need one, then you gotta level up the protection. So if you frequently camp, which I do, and without a tent, I never go in a tent. I go in hammocks. I sometimes actually do go in tents, but I don't like sleep over the stars. Like, that's not me. So if you're northwest, like in the northwest region where there's a lot of wet conditions are relevant, then you'll decide if you need a shell, and you'll pay up to probably $100 or more. If you want the small hack, you can buy these little cans, like $30 on Amazon, for like $30, and it's a waterproof spray which you spray onto your sleeping bag. I've done this with my Coleman one. It did work out. I tried it. I was thinking that it didn't work out because it didn't, but that's because I didn't read and they had us do a second coat. And yeah, but remember, read the instructions and it probably will work out. So the waterproof bag must be shelled in, so that means it has to be waterproof, breathable fabric. So this is basically like a rain jacket, but for your sleeping bag. So if the fabric doesn't breathe, it will be probably waterproof, but not the highest and high-end type. And this will be probably over $180 if you want a high-end waterproof, and that's just included. That's not included prices. So bag shapes. So there's only three basic obvious ones is mummy, rectangular, which I already did two episodes for those, and semi-rectangular. We're going to be talking about semi-rectangular soon in next podcast for tomorrow. So let's talk about the mummy bag, which we've already talked about, but because this is a backpacker's guide, I'll still say it again. So a mummy bag is basically a bag that has a maximum thermal efficiency. So that means a bag's primary job is to contain the heat of your body it generates and keeps it into the interior space and makes it smaller. So it's so much more efficient than a rectangular bag, but it is more expensive. So mummy bags range from $200 to $900. And if you are really in that high-end type of camping, you will be looking at $900 to probably 100, I mean $1,300 if that's you. A rectangular sleeping bag, this would be more for a more room. That's the main thing with a rectangular bag. You can feel your legs like a lot better, but that doesn't mean you still don't have space for a mummy bag. So that means the rectangular sleeping bag has a lot more room, but there is not as much thermally efficient. So this means air can actually escape faster and a lot easier because the mummy bag is actually more closer, obviously, and the rectangular means you're not a rectangle and you're pretty much thinner than a rectangle. So yeah. So let's talk about the semi-rectangular sleeping bag. So it's basically a happy medium mummy bag from between mummy and rectangular. So this is basically some parts of it is rectangular and some of it is mummy. So that means it's a good choice for campers that can't cope with the confinement of a mummy bag, but still needs warmth, but still likes the rectangular bag. So they're gonna be looking for these semi-rectangular. So that's basically what it is. These prices still go for $190 to $250, being nice. If you're a high-end semi-rectangular, then you're probably looking around 300 and 700. That's a big range. So hope you guys like that. These you could get off REI, maybe a couple on Costco. And North Face does carry them, which I like North Face, by the way. And let's just talk about sizing your sack. These are not that type of sack, it's the sack for backpacking. So it's a sleeping bag, and that's the sack that you basically, it's not like shrink wrap, it's kind of like that. So it's to ensure that you perfectly fit and ensure that you get the best night's sleep. So first, try before you buy. So if you're going to the actual store, which you really can in COVID right now, try before you buy. So that means, well, with Amazon and REI, you can ship it to your house and then free shipping back. But after you buy, just try it. So then, crawl into the as many bags as you can. So basically buying like two or three bags and returning the ones you don't like. That's kind of what I do sometimes. I know I'm kind of cruel to those people that have to return them, go through everything, but technically that's their job, so just let that fly. And this means so crawl into bags that you bought and see if you're gonna like them, if you're gonna use them for a long time. And then just see the sleeping pad. So these are basically pads. If it goes on a sleeping pad, then make sure a sleeping pad that comes with it, if it does come with it, works. And also check if there's closures. So check the closures. That basically means zip it up and down and see if the zipper snags or gets stuck in really weird places. And also make sure the left zipper or right zipper is on the actual side you want it to be. Because for rectangular sleeping bags, I don't think there's a difference. You could put it on the other side and still be fine. But that's just me. I'm left-handed, by the way, so I always go for that left-handed zipper. Yeah, that's basically it. And also, don't really forget to roll around in the sleeping bag. So then, if you're a cold sleeper, you can opt to fit more snug and fit. So, sleeping bag terminology. This is for those techie people and geeks for camping. So the shell contains all the protection and insulation. So it basically blocks the wind and repels moisture. The hood is key for keeping warm in cool temps. So basically look for an easy to reach chin and cords, which are on all the like bags I have. This is called the tube, or if you're just a normal person like me, it's called a flap. So it's the part of insulation around the neck opening. And that is the draft collar that straps heat and prevents drafts. So it's kind of like a house, but it's not because there's drafts and everything. Anyways, so some of the bags have a yoke. Yeah, it sounds weird, right? Yeah, at least I think it is. It's the part that is on the drift collar, and this basically insulates the U-shaped tube that hangs freely around your neck and blocks drafts. Look for the shaped foot box. So this is where the side walls of where your feet have wiggle room, so don't press into the insulation and cause cold spots. Let's see. So that's basically it. We're not gonna talk about every single thing. That's gonna take way too long. Even though a lot of podcasts are like hour long, that's not my type of thing. This is a really, really difficult one. I had to send my REI like $230 sleeping bag in because of this. And yeah, I got a new one, but it kind of sucks. So don't be the same mistake I did. So read the label for washing your sleeping bag. Oh my gosh, how many times do I have to say this? Wash your sleeping bag before you do that. Read the label because some of them want cold, some want warm water, some want just light, dry, rinse, everything like that. And make sure close all the zippers and fasteners and then turn the bag inside out so all your body oils and all the interior will wash off. And also for the next episode, will I be doing tomorrow? I will, because my podcast, obviously. This will be in the next episode, and it's going to be talking about insulators. And that means we're going to be talking about the liners that you can buy separately. Stay tuned for that episode tomorrow, and we'll be talking about that basically tomorrow. And then use the right soap. For down, go with cleaning the product that won't strip essential oils from the feathers, such as Nixie Wax Downwash or Prevent Down Cleaner. So just basically read the labels, make sure, read up on it if it doesn't show on the label. And also, what I like to do, I have iPhone 7 Plus, unfortunately. I usually take a photo of before I get the actual sleeping bag, and so then I know the instructions, because sometimes when you put that thing, like, constantly always in the dryer every time you wash it, it runs away and you can't really see the writing, so that's basically what I do. And then when you wash it, you have to remove it and then dry it. So, dry it. How do you dry it? Place the damp bag in a large commercial dryer, which I have. I actually have like two. No, I actually have one. Not rich. Again, not rich. Large commercial dryer. Dry on low heat and check frequently. And this is where I kind of screwed up with washing it. I did not look at the label. And take me again, this kind of sucks when it happens. Because I had to go to REI, and my dad had to go there with me, and I went in their line. And they look at the sleeping bag, and all of the dry, like, all the feathers and everything inside it was at the very bottom, so it was like a piece of plastic on the... Oh my god, it was so bad. Yeah, it was not a fun time. People were looking at me like, what is this person doing with the sleeping bag? Yeah, so that's basically what it is. Nothing else to talk about. So I hope you like this episode. And I know this was like 25 minutes long, but if you're even watching this, please, 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 I would really, really like it if you could basically just support me. It helps a lot. And thank you for listening, and see you guys next time. Bye, guys.